is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matusek. Dr. Luigi Adamo is a heart failure specialist and a scientist at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, where he serves as director of cardiac immunology. Born and raised in southern Italy, the parishioner of the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Baltimore completed his medical degree at the University of Palermo. He holds a PhD in biology and biomedical sciences at Harvard Medical School, and he completed postgraduate training in internal medicine, cardiac disease, and advanced heart failure cardiac transplant at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. He also has completed postdoctoral training in cardiac immunology. Dr. Adamo joins us to talk about the connection between faith and science, looking specifically at evidence-based medicine. Dr. Adamo, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's a true pleasure.
You come from a long line of doctors in your family. How far back does the medical tradition go in your family, and why did you want to follow in that tradition?
So my great-grandfather was a physician. My grandfather was a physician. My father is a physician. So I'm the fourth generation of physicians. And honestly, I didn't really want to follow in this tradition. It was something that came at the last minute. I remember when I was in Italy, you need to take a test to enter medical school. And so my mom asked me to take the test. And I said, well, I'll do it just because then I will never study biology again. I wanted to study humanities. And I didn't prepare really for the test. But for a mystery, God was guiding me. I did extremely well in this test. And so my mom told me that she had prayed and said, well, if you get into within the first 10, that's a sign. And I got 7 out of, I don't know, of 1,000 people. So I said, okay, I'm going to start just to please my parents. But then in November, when the courses in humanities start, I'm going to switch. And then I never switched and I never looked back. And I think God wanted me here, but I didn't know it before I started.
You refer to yourself as a minister of evidence-based knowledge. When we talk of evidence-based knowledge or evidence-based medicine, what does that mean?
Evidence-based medicine is one of the ways in which medicine can be practiced. When we talk about medicine, we usually think about the medicine that we see when we go to the doctor in the U.S. And most doctors in the U.S. are trained as evidence-based physicians. So if we define medicine as the art of healing, then evidence-based medicine uses the tools for healing that have been tested in trials. So they've been tested in randomization, in which some patients are assigned one treatment, some patients are assigned a different treatment, and then you see if one treatment is better than the other. And these treatments usually are based on basic evidence, basic science, experiments done in the lab, experiments done on animals. So this is what I practice because I've been training for 20 years in this. I have a PhD, I've done postdoctoral research, and I run a basic science lab. So that's why sometimes I call myself as a minister of evidence-based medicine because I'm the model of the student that has been trained extensively into basic science and rigorous scientific investigation in order to decide what is a treatment for a patient. But this is not the only way in which medicine is practiced, even in this country. There are other ways to approach the art of healing.
Where does faith, specifically faith in Jesus Christ, fit into this evidence-based medicine model?
I think it fits everywhere. It fits at the root, it fits in between, and it fits in the end. Faith and science complement each other in a sense, and they inform each other, in my opinion. I think probably to give you a more structured answer, we need to go back a step and say, what is the scientific method that leads evidence-based medicine, and how is that related to the faith in Jesus? And just looking historically back in centuries, really is the Christian faith that has arguably, I'm not the first one to say this at all, arguably fostered the development of an evidence-based approach to investigating nature. So Jesus is at the root of, I think, of the evidence-based approach to science and so also to medicine. And then Jesus is in the middle of the practice of medicine because Jesus helps us focus on the patient, really. Jesus, for me at least, has been a strong, inspiring model to pursue excellence and to recognize in each patient the really my brother, my relative, the object of all the efforts of 20 years of studying, in the person that I can help. And then Jesus is also at the end of evidence-based medicine because we can fight every disease, but we cannot always win. And in the end, all patients die. And so as a physician, you are also in a position to really walk patients to the end. And there is when at some point all your training and all your knowledge about how the cells work and how emotions are set together in the brain, sometimes comes short. And then you find yourself just walking together with someone who's about to end their journey.
The Bible is replete with stories of healings, and Christ was known for his many healings. What can we take away from those stories in the Bible about healing?
So that's another, I think, important question. I spent a lot of time with it, and the Catholic tradition, Christian tradition, teaches us that Jesus is the great healer. I mean, Jesus referred as the great physician was already in the fathers of the church. And I mean, if we look to scripture, there are many, many examples that we can pull up. And for example, Matthew 9:12, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick." So he refers to himself as the doctor. Or in Matthew 9:35, it says, "Jesus went throughout all cities and villages, healing every disease and every affliction." And already Saint Ambrose, and here we are like few centuries after really when the church was started, he says, "We have taken refuge with the physician. He has cured our former wounds, and if any pain remains, a remedy will not be want. We have received a great medicine of his grace, for great medicine removes great sin." This is from Santa Rosa and Elijah and fasting. So Jesus, to me, is the archetype of the physician, is really the source of all healing. But again, going back to your prior question, it becomes how is Jesus really enters into evidence-based medicine? And again, we can spend a lot of time talking into it, but I think really enters into every single step. And to me as a physician, Jesus is present there when I'm ministering to my patients, because Jesus, I think, hopefully uses me as a tool to bring healing to these patients. And I see evidence-based medicine as a powerful gift that Jesus gave to our modern world.
Do you ever pray with your patients if they're open to faith and healing in that way?
I love to pray with my patients. You know, it's very important as a physician to respect everyone. And, you know, again, I'm a minister of evidence-based medicine. And so patients don't come to me to pray. They come to me for my scientific knowledge. However, sometimes patients basically ask for it. Or when a patient has a cross or shares with me something about their spiritual life, and so I think that they might be interested in praying with me, I ask. And I ask actually quite frequently, say, you know, is it okay if I pray for you, or would you be interested in praying with me? Or like, you know, do you believe in prayer? You know, depends how I ask, really comes from the discussion. And I would say oftentimes patients really like to pray, and I love to pray with them. And when I pray with them, I ask Jesus to come and put light in my mind and bless what I do so that I might be an instrument in their healing. Mm-hmm. And especially when the situation is difficult, and just because of my job, I take care of a lot of patients that have a difficult condition to treat. I ask Jesus, please come in where I fall short, where medicine cannot step in anymore. Please come and bring your healing. I find it of great help. I don't think it changes the way I apply my knowledge, But I found that sometimes just after we pray, something comes up in my mind, or like there is an illumination, maybe another test that I didn't think about ordering, that I order. And I believe that this prayer with the patient really helps me serving them and being a better instrument. But I strive to serve also the patient that don't want to pray with me. And then in my private life, I can do whatever I want, right? So I often pray for my patients, all of them, when I'm alone or when I'm reviewing their case or when I'm getting ready to meet them.
There is an element in Christianity that believes that all you need is prayer, that faith alone can provide healing. I don't think that's a dominant strain in Christianity, but it is there. You've argued that it's actually sinful not to go to a doctor. Could you tell why you think that is?
Yes. And actually, I have a fairly strong opinion about that. And you know, the Bible is very clear. If we go to James 1:17, it says everything good comes from God. And I think there is no question that evidence-based medicine can be good. Evidence-based medicine, that again, is the medicine that we practice today, the medicine that discovered antibiotics, the medicine that discovered the vaccination against polio, the medicine that invented surgery, the medicine that invented C-sections, the medicine that discovered that you need to clean your hands to reduce the spreading of infections, the medicine that controls high blood pressure, the medicine that can treat a heart attack when somebody has one. Like, medicine brings healing, has saved the lives of endless children, has saved families from being without a father or without a mother. So definitely, medicine is a gift from God. So I think that when and Jesus says, go and heal in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I think the command to heal and the command to bring to serve and to bring relief to those in need is a command that comes through the tools that God provides. So once God has provided this gift of medicine, I think it's extremely, I would say, arrogant to say, well, if God wants to heal me, he needs to heal me just by prayer. I don't need to go to the physician. So I think that, and no, it's not because I think too highly about myself. You know, I'm sure I've done some mistakes in my life. The point is not going to see me, but going to see the physician is a way to go and take advantage of a gift of the Lord. And God might want to heal people through this. And, you know, in the gospel, we see that a lot of people ask for healing, but then Jesus heals only a few people. There were many people who were lame at the pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem, but only one gets healed by Jesus. That doesn't mean, it's mysterious to me. I don't know why Jesus touches and heals directly only a few people, but for everyone else, there is evidence-based medicine. And there is the love of those physicians that are there to serve, also in the name of Jesus.
And there is a passage in the Old Testament that actually says that you should pray, but you also go to a doctor.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I think it's the book of Sirach, Sirach 38:9-12, that says, my son, when you are ill, do not delay, but pray to God, for it is he who heals. Then give the doctor his place, lest he live. You need him too. For there are times when recovery is in his hands. He too prays to God that his diagnosis may be correct and his treatment bring about a cure. And, you know, there is, I still see the book of Sirach, chapter 38. It says, make friends with the doctor, for he's essential too. God also has established him in his profession. And from God, the doctor has wisdom, God and those people with knowledge to glory in his mighty works. Mm. So thank you for bringing that to my attention. I always have it in my presentations. And I think, again, is a very strong point. I think telling God how he's supposed to heal us, it's a little bit presumptuous. I think God can heal us in many ways, can heal us through prayer, through his divine touch, can heal us just because our body sometimes heals by himself, can heal us through a pill, can heal us through a physician.
Well, our guest today is Dr. Luigi Adamo. He is the Director for Cardiac Immunology in the Johns Hopkins University Division of Cardiology, and he's also a parishioner of the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland. Dr. Adamo, has your own personal faith grown in the practice of evidence-based medicine?
Yes, a lot. I am a heart failure specialist, so I take care of patients with heart failure. And usually when patients with heart failure come see a specialist, it's because either their disease is an unusual feature or because it's severe. So despite my best effort, it's part of my job to walk some patients to the end of their lives. And being able to be there and in this very delicate moment of a person's life is actually in an unusual way is a special blessing. So this has strengthened my faith. Also, at the same time, I'm a scientist, and my work in the lab investigating the mysteries, especially I studied the interaction within the immune system and the heart in the context of heart failure, investigating the complexities and the mysteries of the relationship between the immune system and the heart has also challenged my faith and has made it grow in the end. The more you look at creation, the more you appreciate the beauty of the maker. At least this has been my experience.
What have those experiences of being with a patient at the end of his or her life been like for you? Does it give you some evidence of a soul in any way?
So there is something that is extremely powerful about the moment in which a person dies. You know, most people who work in a hospital don't really see many people die in their life. I've worked since I was a trainee, you know, it has been a long time. You know, there are different levels in which you join in the care. You might be the student or you might be the first year resident. And sometimes you are very close to, sometimes it was myself who was going to literally certify the death of a person. And there is something that changes in the room when the person dies, and everybody feels it. I have a friend, a close friend, who had the experience of having his wife pass in the hospital. And, you know, it was a chronic disease, and they knew at some point that she couldn't recover. So they decided that they would stop using a ventilator to keep her alive. And I remember talking with him and sharing some of my experiences. And I told him, you know, really there is something powerful in the moment of death. And he listened to me carefully. You know, it's not that he wasn't discounting, but, you know, they went through it, they talked, they got ready for weeks. And then the moment in which she died, you know, of course it was overwhelmed with emotions, but then talking later, I remember telling me, you know, I was waiting for this, but then the moment in which it happened, I felt like a truck hit myself. And I think he really captured, there is some power in the moment of death that is mysterious. Sometimes people have been on a ventilator, sometimes they have not talked for days. Sometimes everything you see in that room or here is the beep of the telemetry, of the EKG machine. And then at some point the person dies and there is something that changes in that room. It's quite powerful. Now, I perceive it as a spiritual event. Some colleagues don't, but I don't think anyone would deny that in the moment in which somebody dies, there's something happening.
Have you ever experienced the miraculous in your practice? Do you think you've ever seen a miracle?
A miracle in the sense of somebody that was completely and fully and unexplainably healed in front of me during my practice? I have not. And especially as the, you know, with the standard of a Catholic tradition has very high standards for defining what is a miraculous healing. And complete and unexplainable and unexpected. And I have never experienced myself in front of my hands something like this. Many times I would say I've experienced something that is unusual and that surprises you, something that you wouldn't pass the line of being a miracle, but something that definitely defies the odds. And oftentimes was in the context of somebody praying or somebody having an intercessory prayer for them. And, you know, as a scientist and as a person of faith, it's something that gives you pause and, you know, it warms your heart. But I would say as a scientist, I keep myself to a very high standard in science. And I cannot tell you that I've seen with my own eyes a miracle. I do believe in miracles, but I've not come across one in my personal practice yet. Mm-hmm.
We talked earlier about the power of prayer. Have there been any studies about the power of intercessory prayer?
Yes, actually, you know, the evidence-based medicine applies this standard of, you know, the burden of proof to any to any medical intervention. And so it's not a surprise that at some point, since there are many Christians that claim that intercessory prayer can have a role, at some point the power of evidence-based medicine or the method of evidence-based medicine has been applied to these questions. And it's very interesting that science has not found a definitive answer, but there is a fair amount of evidence that at least suggests that when at the scientific no when run by the scientific swift, intercessory prayer might actually work. There is a paper that I found very interesting about stress reduction in patients receiving treatment for breast cancer. This was published in 2020, so quite recently. And the authors took patients with breast cancer and then they randomized them. They asked everyone whether they wanted to receive prayer. And then they randomized some to actually receive prayer from Christians. And then they randomized the other ones not to receive prayer, which is it's kind of mean, but that's how randomized prayer, the randomized trial works. And then they had two ways to measure stress. One was measured by, you know, self-reported questionnaires. And the other one, actually, they were measuring an enzyme in saliva that is has been shown even in animals to correlate with the level of stress. And the patients that they were receiving intercessory prayer had a lower level of stress. Mm. This is a small study, but I think probably as a scientist, I think it's one that has the highest level of quality. Then there are a couple of other studies published in actually in prestigious journal. One of them, one in the Archives of Internal Medicine, was published in 1999, I believe, that studied how ICU stay changed when people were receiving prayer from a group of volunteers who the study says they believed in a personal God concerned with individual lives. So probably they were Christians or no, maybe Jewish. I'm not sure about that. I mean, I'm not a theologian, but you know, that's what describes to me. And in this study, that the study has some technical limitations. Not all the measurements are properly described, at least, you know, by the standards I'm used to work at. But the authors found an improvement in an effect of intercessory prayer. And then there was another study that had similar findings. And in medicine or in evidence-based medicine, one way to put it all together is doing what is called a meta-analysis. And Cochrane Library is the publisher of arguably the most well-done and most prestigious meta-analysis in this field. And so they did a meta-analysis in 2000 and then was updated in 2009 to really review all these studies. You know, I mentioned just a couple, but there are a plethora of small studies, bigger studies. And it's interesting if we read, actually I have it in front of me here, the conclusion from the 2009 review. They say findings are equivocal, but some of the results of individual studies suggest a positive effect of intercessory prayer. However, the evidence does not support a recommendation either in favor or against the use of intercessory prayer. So this is what I was saying before. So, you know, science has very high standard. Again, I'm a person of faith. I pray regularly with my patients, for my patients. I cannot tell you as a scientist that I've seen a miracle, even though probably there were some miraculous intercession. The same method or the same standard at a community level, basically what the review says, you know, probably intercessory prayer works, but we don't have definitive answers, which I think is fascinating because these authors most likely they weren't Christian from the way they wrote, but that is what the evidence shows.
Johns Hopkins sort of has this reputation as a bastion of secularism, but it also has this beautiful statue of Jesus in one of the building, one of the older buildings. There's probably a lot of prayer going on at Johns Hopkins, isn't there?
First of all, I should have clarified before, I do work at Johns Hopkins, but of course, as I speak, I'm not speaking in the name of Johns Hopkins. These are just my personal opinions. I can tell you that Johns Hopkins probably is a very secular place. I felt very respected since I came here. I never hidden my faith. In my interview day, I blessed my lunch and I crossed myself before starting my meal. And everybody knew that I was volunteering in Christian. It was in my CV. And I have a cross in my office. I mean, I'm very respectful of everyone and I make sure that nobody in my team feels bothered by my beliefs. I read about the story of the statue of Jesus. Apparently, Johns Hopkins Hospital was intentionally started as a hospital separated from religion at the time in which most hospitals were Christian. But then somebody gifted the statue and it was accepted. And so actually the first day of my work, I was I just by chance entered there. So my first step at Johns Hopkins was at the feet of Jesus. Mm. I take it as a sign. And I have several colleagues who are Christian, devout, Catholic. There is a community of students. It's a secular place. But I think here we pursue science, but some of us pursue it with Jesus.
Well, our guest today has been Dr. Luigi Adamo. He is the Director for Cardiac Immunology in the Johns Hopkins University Division of Cardiology and a parishioner of the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Homeland. Dr. Adamo, thanks again for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and it was a true pleasure. And if you are listening to this, please go to your doctor. He's there to serve in the name of Jesus.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matusek. Thanks for listening.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.